All right, we're going to be in James chapter 1, mostly today. Hopefully that's not the only time you read Proverbs. I actually have that as a little bit of an illustration today, how repetitive Proverbs is. And my girls might tell me, what does that mean for us, Emily? We don't get the point very good. We're pretty stupid. How many times does God have to tell us about the pride and what it causes them? Several times Olivia in first grade has said, didn't we do that verse already? I said, yeah, a similar thought, but that was last chapter. We're up again. There's a lot of good in Proverbs, and God repeats things in there because we're pretty hard-headed. All right, James chapter 1. I want to talk about a well-known verse, a verse that we often bring out for Sunday school and junior church when we're talking to the children. But I'll take a moment and think about us, and maybe a little bit of a different application. Hopefully we're not talking about the same issues as with the children in Sunday school. But I think it'd be worthy for us to stop and think about a little bit. We'll look at the whole paragraph, but the phrase I want to think about is in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right, like I said, I've talked to Buskins about it, used in junior church. You know, you can't just come here on Sundays and hear the word. You've got to go home and you've got to obey your mom, and you've got to, you know, quit stealing from the corner store and, you know, quit playing hooky from school or whatever it is that they're facing. And it's true. But I've been thinking about me and how much of what I hear am I not doing very well. Okay. Hopefully you're not facing the problems of stealing from the corner store in the hallway or blatantly disobedient maybe on these sides to their parents. But there are lots of things the Bible tells us to do, and we hear them. How are we doing? Right. For me, it's been pretty convicting. We'll get here in a little bit, but even Pastor Dameron reminded us how we need to pray for souls and getting us to commit to an hour a week. Do we know that already? Have we heard that before? And how convicting is it when you think that, wow, that's going to make me change my prayer life to spend an hour a week in prayer for souls? How much are we doing? The things we've heard. We'll get there in a little bit. Like I said, this is a well-known passage, but I'd like to think about us for a little bit and how this applies to us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we look at your word to think about ourselves for a few minutes here and how your word applies to us. Lord, it is humbling and convicting to read your word and to realize how far we fall short of obeying it and doing what you expect of us. Lord, help us to leave here renewed in our commitment to just be doers of the word. Just whatever the Bible says, we're going to follow through and do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, just have two main points. The first one is just a little bit out of the text here and a few thoughts about this being doers of the word. And then we'll look at some things right around those verses where we're reminded of some things we should be doing. And then the last thing is I just thought through other places in the Bible and things we're told to be doing. And how well are we doing those? Are we just hearing those things? So a fairly simple outline. All right, first of all, let's read verse 22 down through verse 25 again here. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, how many have talked to some child in junior church or Sunday school or on your bus route about what it's like when you look in the mirror and your hair is all disheveled and you just leave and don't do anything about it? How many have used that illustration? Yeah. And I want us to do that to us today. I was looking at one of the high school boys that I think did that this morning. We know for sure this is talking about mankind in general because it really was just men. Yeah, we look in the mirror and then we go away and we don't really care, right? Hopefully, if you're a man, you don't go all through the day obsessed with, is my hair out of place? You know, it's like, you just got to get past your mom in the morning and then you're free, all right? Getting past mom is another story. All right, how are we doing All right, we hear a lot. How are we doing? All right, this media passage mentions several things. One there is it says we're deceiving ourselves. It's easy, at least I think it's easy for me, to look in the Bible and see what it says and justify me not following through on it and thinking it's not a big problem. Right? But God says I'm deceiving myself. I mean, it's one thing if you come up and trick me out of my money or something, but I'm doing it to myself. And it caused me to pause. How many things that I think aren't that big a deal are a problem? And I've just convinced myself it's not. Have I deceived myself into thinking it's not a big deal? If there are things that we hear and we're not doing, then we're deceiving ourselves. That's a scary place to be. We talked about the mirror. You look in the mirror and you forget how you looked. Right? Hopefully you wouldn't keep a mirror around that no matter you go to it every morning, girls, and your hair's perfect and never have to do anything. And then you go outside and people are saying, what happened? Didn't you fix your hair? You said, oh, no, my mirror said I was fine. You'd be upset at that mirror that deceived you. All right. The guys would also be upset. Please get a better mirror. Do something. Bigger paint gun or something. Fix it. But we would be upset if something was deceiving us like that, all right? We should be upset with ourselves. How can I let myself deceive me? I need to be doing, not just hearing the word. On down in the verse, let's see, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So kind of the opposite side. We can deceive ourselves or we can be blessed in our deed. If I had to pick between the two, I'll take the blessed in my deed. That sounds a whole lot better. All right? And it comes from being a doer of the word. Right? The Christian life isn't a systematic theology test or if you're in some good classes, a calculus test or a 20th century history test. It's not one of those tests. All right, the problem isn't that we don't know the answers. We don't do it. All right, God says we're blessed in our deed if we actually follow through on it. I've heard of the KISS principle applied lots of places. Keep it simple, stupid. We've heard that phrase. Sorry, some of you guys just went straight to the gutter. Keep it simple, stupid. All right, the first time I heard that was Mrs. Goss teaching materials and methods when I was in college. Right, talking about bulletin boards. Keep it simple. Few big words, big picture, simple. Don't make it complicated. It's used in finances. People will say apply the KISS principle to your investment. Keep it simple. Something to understand. Don't get complicated. And that same idea if we think about our Christian life. Keep it simple. We need to be doers of the word. That's it. Are we actually following through with that? Are we hearing and then doing? It's easy to complicate our lives. It's easy for me to complicate my life. Right, but at the end, we're to be obeying the Bible. And how should we do that? Keep it simple, stupid. Some of us get that mixed up and we keep it stupid, simple. We don't want to keep it stupid. We want to keep it simple. Obey the Bible. If you're thinking with me, there's probably some things in your mind already about, wow, I'm not doing that very well, like it has been for me. We'll take some time here and think about some specifics and give you some illustrations, some things to think about. There's probably something there. I'm not doing that one very well like I should. All right, let's look here next at a couple of things in this passage, some ideas that are brought out right here around this verse about being doers and not hearers only. For us to think about how well we do the Bible. Start up in verse 9, it's 19, it's the beginning of this paragraph. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I get mad easily sometimes. No comment. I get mad easily sometimes. Slow to wrath, slow to speak, swift to hear. I'm a teacher all day, so I guess I'm in trouble about slow to speak. Oh, we should listen and get angry slowly. I I probably used this illustration before, but someplace where I have to fight getting angry is in church before or after the service when I want to get out. And there's groups of people standing in the aisle talking. That's what I say, hey! You know, there's people wanting to get out. I try to just tell myself to calm down. It's okay. Especially when I find myself doing it every now and then, standing in the middle of the aisle talking, and there's four people behind me waiting to get out. But why should I be swift to get angry? I shouldn't. To be slow to anger. How well are we with being doers of the word, not just hearers of it? The verse 21, a little bit down there, says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I looked that up a little bit. Basically, it's just bad things. Lay those aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness, humbly. I grew up in a Christian home. I don't ever remember not going to church. My dad was a deacon. Just as long as I can remember in the church, heavily involved in everything. I need to receive the word with meekness. I don't have some special position as a lifelong church attender. I need to come to it humbly. Look in Proverbs 20. This is a verse we just covered in our family devotions. Verse 9. We're going through Proverbs right now. Verse 9 says, who can say I've made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Who can claim they've cleaned up their own life and gotten rid of their own sin? I sure can't. I come to God a filthy sinner, just like the people that come in on our bus routes on Sunday, to the people we run to on the streets that we witness to. Just like they need to come humbly to God, I need to come humbly to God. Receive the word with meekness. We see it all the time. We study it, and it's easy to get this mindset of, well, you know, I've got this special in with God because I'm in Bible college, or I'm growing up in a house with parents that sent me to a Christian school. No. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Go down to verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Controlling your tongue. We know we're supposed to do it. You've heard it. But how many times are you like me in the aisle wanting to get out, and you need some bigger bridles to keep your tongue in? Or you're with your friends, and they're talking about the teacher. We're talking about another student. We're talking about the leader of your ministry and not talking about what a great, smart person he is. Bridle your tongue. It says your religion is vain if you can't do that. Doers or hearers? We've got to be doers, not just hearers of it. The very next verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Visit those who can do nothing for you. Fatherless and the widows, the people that there's no personal gain and unspotted from the world. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but unspotted. When I've got my suit on, I do this occasionally, get in the backhoe and have to drive it someplace. But man, I'm super, super careful because there's grease everywhere and dirt everywhere. And I don't want it on my suit. I want to be unspotted from the filth of the tractor. Are we that careful? Am I that careful with the world? And I'm not suggesting you see how close you can get to it without getting spotted. I think mostly it's stupid when I'm on the tractor in my suit. Unspotted from the world. I don't want to get it on me. I don't want it anywhere near me. And God said that's pure religion and undefiled before God. How well are we being doers, not just hearers? We are saturated with the world and the culture around us. I mean, it's in our pockets. It's not in my pocket, but this is my dumb phone. I mean, we can get video. I can listen to it radio on my phone. It's all around us. How much are we concerned about it, us being spotted with the world? Okay, it's easy for me to accept a reasonable amount. You know, I've got to be aware, and I want to know what's happening. No, I want to be unspotted. from the world, unspotted. All right, so those are things right in the paragraph that we see that phrase about being doers, not just hearers only. I let myself wander and think of some things outside of those passages that we know, we've heard, but how much are we doing? So I mentioned already briefly the prayer for souls. Prayer for souls. It's sad that I have to be reminded and sign a commitment card to pray an hour a week for souls. How much am I doing? I've heard that since before you were born, most of you. But how am I doing it? As I was thinking about this, this whole issue of being doers and not hearers, I thought if I had to sit down and write a description of somebody who had been in full-time service since 95, what is that, 22 years basically, what would be in my description? And I thought, wow, that's not my life. How much am I not doing? Think about you if I said, all right, describe a serious-minded Bible college student. What would be their Bible study habits? What would be their prayer habits? What would be their soul-winning habits? What would be their carefulness with sin? I had to come to, there's a whole lot of things I'm not doing. I hear it, but I'm not doing. So prayer for souls, soul winning. It's easy to knock on doors and tell kids about an Easter egg hunt. But that kid has a soul and they're going to go to hell. Their parents have a soul and they're going to go to hell. Soul winning. The guy at the gas station has a soul. He's going to hell. Or the girl, if it's a girl. Soul winning. How much are we doing? We fulfill their requirements in our ministries. But that's just kind of an artificial thing. I mean, how much are we winning souls? How much are we concerned about souls? If my wife said, I don't think you love me, and I pulled out a checklist and say, well, I talked to you for 10 minutes yesterday, and I did this, I fulfilled all the requirements. You'd say, that's nothing. She wouldn't be happy with that. But sometimes we go to God with our checklist and say, I did these things. I must love souls. No. We're soul winning. We're concerned about souls. We got reminded this last weekend of it. How much are we doing? Or how much we just hear and say, yeah, there's somebody that needs this. You know, the somebody is us. Are we doers or hearers? All right, another thought here. We won't bother to turn to the passage, but the idea that we're stewards of our life for God. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Your whole life is God's. How much is God's? How much are you letting be God's? How much of your life is what you want to do, and you really haven't asked God about it? The whole thing is God's. Right? If you go to work and you know you're working from 3 to 9 or something at the grocery store, you don't get the luxury of saying, "Well, boss, from 6 to 7:30, I've got some other things I need to do." Your boss will say, "Wait a second, I've bought you. Right? I'm paying you. You're going to do what I want for that time frame." Okay? Our entire life has been bought by God. It's His. How much are we keeping back and saying, well, God, I'll do that for you, but, you know, I had a really long weekend on bus, so I'm going to take this time for myself. No, it's His. Now, we're not machines. We're not robots. We have to sleep. And, you know, we can't just say, oh, God, I'm going to be awake every day serving you every hour of every day. But we do what God wants. We're His. For me, I often, that KISS principle comes back frequently. I have to keep my life simple and go back to what's important. What does God want me to do? And make sure that stuff fits in. If you know me very well, I love to make things and fix my car and middle of making some projects out of wood at my house. But is that really that important? If I get stuck in a bind and I have time to work in my shop or go out soul winning or work in my shop and spend that hour in prayer that I need to spend, it shouldn't be a decision. I do what God wants first. I'm His. But I'm flesh like you. Sometimes I choose the wrong thing. I'm a hearer, not a doer of the word. All right, how about this one? In 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Just being godly. Think of different things in your life, physical things, or even people. Strip those away. but still have godliness, is there contentment? Computers, the internet, video, phones, friends, clothes. Is there contentment? Our flesh loves that stuff. And it's a fight to truly say, I'm content with being right with God. That other verse about being unspotted from the world, the same idea. I'm content with being right with God. Let me be right with God, and everything else can go. You probably read stories or heard stories about people that get thrown in prison and how it was for serving Christ, not for murder or something, for serving Christ. And they talked about how it was just this wonderful time where they got to be with God alone. Nobody interrupted them. Nobody came to bug them. There's no phone calls. Content with being godly. Are we being doers? Or is that just something we hear? That's a pretty neat idea. Somebody should do that. That somebody's us. Godliness with contentment. All right, one other example. Hebrews 12:1. We don't have to look there. Laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin, I think, is fairly easy, and we should lay aside sin. But God also talks about weights, and he uses the illustration of a runner. I hate running, and people like Mr. Ramos that like running have serious mental defects, okay? Serious. If you know Mr. Ramos, am I right with that one? Goes beyond running. All right, but it's talking about running. And it would be crazy to want to run. My girls ran yesterday voluntarily, so tells us something. It'd be crazy to want to run, and then it would be really, really crazy to throw on a backpack and, you know, weights and, you know, go out and grab some dumbbells from the gym and grab a log from my driveway and say, all right, I'm ready to go running. Look at him and say, what, are you stupid? Throw those weights off. They're going to slow you down as you try to run. Okay? And that's the picture God makes about our life. Get rid of the sin. And then get rid of the weights. Wouldn't have to be necessarily wrong things, but what gets in the way of you serving God? What's slowing you down? What is that thing where you would have had time to be ready for your story on Sunday, but you were doing something else? What gets in the way of that prayer time? It might not be that you're robbing the bank in town. It could be something else that's not wrong, but it's a weight. And it's slowing you down. We have to give those things up. The weights that so easily beset us. It could just be laziness, which is also a sin. Laziness could be technology, social media. Now, the school has a Facebook page, the post stuff. I mean, not necessarily a sin. But is it a weight? You find your time getting sucked up with that, and all of a sudden you think, oh, wow, I've got to have a game tomorrow. And you scramble to put that together. The weights that so easily beset us. Are we doers or are we just hearers? Okay, and we can go on looking at other examples. My prayer is that God brought up other things to your mind, the places where you're just a hearer of the word and not just a doer of the word. Let's close our eyes and stand at our feet. As the musician plays, after I pray here, I'll give you a chance to come down. And if there's something we need to talk with God about, you can do that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and how we can read it and think about it. And Lord, how it could convict. Lord, help us to change our lives so that we truly are doers of the word, even in the places that we let ourselves deceive ourselves into thinking that it's not a big deal. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, if you need to come at all, please come.